First of all, it's a great privilege to celebrate this Sunday evening Mass here at the Cathedral Basilica of the Immaculate Conception. And I'm happy to be joined at the altar this evening by Father Wido, pastor of St. Anthony's in Stirling on the Eastern Plains, as well as Deacon Mark Salvato and Deacon Don Schaefer. Two of the principal protagonists during this season of Advent are Mary, the Blessed Mother of Jesus, who during these days is pregnant with the Lord, and St. John the Baptist, who is introduced to us in this evening's Gospel from St. Mark. Mary, in many ways, is the ideal figure in Advent. She helps us to anticipate the birth of her Son with joyful expectation in our hearts, a joy and an expectation that only a mother can help us to understand. Tomorrow, December 8th, is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, a holy day of obligation, which isn't satisfied this evening. There's no twofers, you know. We have to go to Mass again tomorrow. She's the patroness, under that title, she's the patroness of our country, and she's the patroness of this beautiful cathedral basilica. And the Immaculate Conception was the first gift of Mary, the first step, if you will, by God in unfolding the drama of the redemption of the human race. In other words, God needed to prepare a place, a context, if you will, to send his Son. He prepared this fitting dwelling place for his Son by preserving Mary from original sin, from the very first moment of her conception. And thus, she was prepared to be the dwelling place for the Lord. The second major personage of Advent is St. John the Baptist, who comes on to the scene today in these first few verses of St. Mark's Gospel. You know, the four Gospels in ancient iconography are symbolized with ancient symbols, like John is the eagle because he soars above all the rest. Matthew is always symbolized by a man because he begins his Gospel with the genealogy of Jesus. Luke is always symbolized by an oxen because he begins his Gospel with the nativity scene, with the animals around the stable. But Mark, as we heard this evening, the beginning of his Gospel, he is always symbolized by a lion for two reasons. One, because he's from the tribe of Judah, and the lion is the symbol of the tribe of Judah, but also because John is roaring from the desert, preaching a baptism of repentance, calling the people to repent from their sins, like a voice crying in the wilderness, as we heard in our first reading. And he is the fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah, which we just heard. A voice cries out from the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his way." John is a very interesting character, frightening in many ways. When we hear that description of, you know, a man clothed in camel hair, you know, eating locusts, you know, with a leather belt around his waist, and people were flowing out of the city of Jerusalem and along the banks of the Jordan to come to hear him preach, and they were confessing their sins. Imagine that scene. You know, hundreds of people going to listen to this strange man, you know, preaching this baptism of repentance. Create a clean heart in me, O Lord, that I might be a fitting dwelling place for the Lord. Unfortunately, a bishop doesn't have many opportunities to hear confessions regularly. But last night, for the vigil praise at the seminary, and tonight, I've been able to hear a good number of confessions. And, you know, what a great gift that is, and people are still going to confession during this evening. It's what a wonderful gift we have in the sacrament of reconciliation. And there's really no better way to prepare for Christmas, no better way to prepare a place for Christ in our hearts than by making a good, honest confession. Yesterday, was the feast of St. Nicholas, and I celebrated the anniversary of my reception into the Catholic faith every year on December 6th. I was received into the faith when I was a junior in college, and that particular year was also a Saturday. It was a very cold Saturday in December in Kansas, and I was living outside of the city of Lawrence. And my friends, my roommates, went ahead of me because I wanted to have some time to kind of prepare for this big moment in my life to be received in the Catholic Church. So they went on ahead of me, and I went out to get into my truck. It was an old 56 pickup truck. And I went to turn the key, and there was nothing. It was dead. And I said, this is great. I'm going to miss my own reception into the Catholic Church. But luckily, the landlord had some jumper cables, so we were able to jump the truck, and I made it in time. But I remember that I had to be the first one to go, and because I had been baptized as a Presbyterian during my junior high school days, I had to make a confession. Now, I told this story last night, so I apologize for those of you who were at the vigil praise. But I had to make my first confession, and I had to confess my sins from the time I was in the ninth grade until I was a junior in college. So that's a long and tumultuous period of time. And as you might guess, I had to write all of my sins on a little 3x5 note card, front and back, in order to keep it all straight, because I wanted to make a good confession. I didn't want to leave anything out. And so I went in there, and I was the first one to go in, and I knelt down, and it was a confessional like these, only it was, you know, with a screen. And I made the sign of the cross, and I said, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is my first confession. And there was dead silence. And I remember the priest, Father Moriarty, God rest his soul, great Irish priest, he said, now don't worry, son. Don't be nervous now. Don't be nervous. Just be open your heart and confess your sins. And silence. And he waited, and the problem was is that it was pitch black in the confessional. And so, you know, I couldn't see anything. I'm trying to look up at this thing. And so finally I, you know, broke the silence and I said, you know, Father, there's a problem. And he goes, yes, my son, what's the problem? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I said, I can't read. And here he thought, this is a college student who made his way all the way to his junior year, and he couldn't read. And so he said, don't worry, son, illiteracy is not a sin. So I said, no, Father, I can read. There's no problem, but it's dark in here, and I've got this little card, and there's no light. He said, oh, okay, and he flipped the switch on, and light went on, and I made my confession. But even in spite of the trauma of my first confession, I've always loved that sacrament. And especially this time of the year, there's no greater joy, you know, than walking away from confession, knowing that your sins have been forgiven, knowing that that burden has been lifted from your heart, and you're able to start over again. And what a great gift that is. Not only do we have the opportunity to unburden ourselves of whatever burdens we have in our sins, you know, we've been carrying around with us, but we receive absolution, you know, the sacramental forgiveness of our sins, which comes with us new graces to be able to put into action those good resolutions and to grow in virtue. And it's all free. We don't have to pay for it like if we were going to go to a psychologist. You know, it's what a great gift that is. And as a priest, and I'm sure Father Wido will back me on this, that there's no greater privilege as a priest than being this conduit of God's mercy and forgiveness, except perhaps offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which really is the highest privilege of the priesthood. But what a humbling thing it is for a priest to sit there and to have the faithful come forward and to open their hearts, to tell their deepest secrets, and to unburden themselves of their sin, and then to be able to say those blessed words, "I absolve you from your sins." Those words of Jesus, because they're not my words. They're not the priest's words. They're the words of Jesus. And so we have this great opportunity, and I urge all of you, if you haven't been able to go this evening, but sometime during this season of Advent, to avail yourselves of the sacrament, even if it's been, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, or more years. You know, it's a great gift. And it's a great way to prepare a place for the Lord, that He may come and dwell in us on Christmas Day. So in conclusion, during these days of Advent, let us walk with Mary. Let her take your hand to walk during these days of Advent and to help enkindle in your heart this expectation, this hope for this Son who is our Lord and our Savior, who will come into the world and come into our hearts and come into our homes and our families on Christmas Day. She can help us to prepare well to receive her Son. And let us listen to John and walk with him too. He who tells us to make way the paths of the Lord, to make straight the way of the Lord through repentance and the forgiveness of our sins. Mary can give us confidence in God's mercy. She can dispel the fear that oftentimes comes with sin and to help us to go with confidence to the Lord, to receive His forgiveness and to receive His love. John reminds us of the need to repent, and Mary helps us to repent. So let us, on this second Sunday of Advent, invoke their help, their intercession, their strength, and their prayer as we prepare a place in our hearts, in our homes, and in our world for Jesus our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.